Welcome to the little podcast where to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, who run with the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and I am fucking tired.
It could be worse, Dev. It's Groundhog Day, and I have the whole narration from the radio up in front of me, and I could have done that for my intro.
You should have.
I should have, but I chose not to.
It's okay, you can do it again on the time loop.
My favorite part of it is because it gets posted anytime there is a Groundhog Day, the multiple animals that do it, and Punxsutawney Phil has like the worst average out of all of them. His average is like 30%. It's worse than a coin flip.
I mean, you can always just bet against whatever he's saying. Then, I mean, it's, 70%.
That's true. How's your week been overall, Dev?
I want to go to a convention. And I don't want to be cold anymore.
I want to rest. I get to check in each night to find out if I have jury duty the next day.
Ugh.
Yeah, exactly.
Thankfully, I am excused due to medical shenanigans.
I'm supposed to be. Since I moved, they have not yet decided if mine makes me eligible to skip or not. So here we are. And then moving on from that, episode 17 of Beat Break, Antipathy. You okay, Dev? Sounds like you're falling over or something. Let us give Dev a second, since I'm assuming it's actually a headphone issue.
One second. It seems that my headphones have died again for some unforeseen reason.
Okay, we'll give Dev a second while I start with how the episode begins, which is a Koemon chase, or Mon Mon. Fun little goofy guy and him punching Gekkoman in the head. And I like how Tactics almost feels like they're becoming lazy now. They're just sort of watching now to show up and steal.
They're just there.
Yeah, it's just funny because, like, the first time we see them, they, like, plan out what they're doing. And now they're just sort of sitting there watching, like, in a minute, we're going to go steal this shit.
Things so, like, initially, he decided, like, oh, okay, this is more efficient to, kill, steal from others. But at some point, you have to think, like, okay, maybe we can actually go after bounties instead of just sitting here and watching the idiots chase things around.
I know, it's just funny, because this is the fourth episode where they've been around. The first episode introduces them as, like, competent badasses. Then the next episode, we get the one guy whining because he actually got, like, hit. Then we get snowboarding. And then Shakumon and Hodoruko brag about winning. And then realizes, oh, Chirapmon harmed itself saving the kids. And then she realizes she knows the kids. Now, am I wrong, or do they not point out they're her siblings until a bit later?
They don't point it out until they're literally, like, dragging him home.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because at first I wondered if I had missed it. Because she clearly knows them. I just meant that I thought it was kind of weird. Like, at some point, they kind of just say they're her siblings.
Yeah, I was initially not sure, like, are you actually related, or is this kind of like you all came from the same orphanage kind of related?
And I will say this, when Makoto tells the kids Chirapmon's a robot that protects people, Chirapmon just desperately trying to do, like, the stereotypical robot voice.
It's adorable. Also, at this point in technology, I mean, they probably have robots that sound a little bit better.
Maybe. And then Hodoruko wants to take them home. Makoto, the kids want to know about him because he's her colleague. And that's when she starts to freak out, and she just starts to lie.
I mean, that's obviously the best thing to do to children. And apparently your parents.
Yeah. And then the kids invite Makoto over for dinner. And the whole time Hodoruko is kind of, like, upset about her mistake. And somehow that's what,
apparently against the rules of Tactics or whatever.
It's kind of funny, though, where it feels like Makoto's being dragged for dinner, and then all of Glowing Dawn's just there.
Yeah, it's like, did they show, like, his backup? And it's like, Makoto, where are you? It's like, you're eating food.
I appreciate the kids figuring out Pristimon is another one of the quote-unquote robots, and Pristimon is trying to get the fuck away from them.
It's like the Tamer's Terriermon situation.
It's been the last few episodes have been hard on Pristimon.
She puts up with so much.
Yeah. Then we get Horoko's mother tells her to stop being rude in front of her friends. And then they mention, you know, she skipped graduated college by skipping grades, which is not really how college works, but okay. And then,
well, I thought she got into college by early by skipping grades, or was I misreading it?
I thought the wording was, it sounded like she graduated college early by skipping grades. I think you're right. I think they just worded it oddly, in that they worded it in a way that it just didn't quite click the way it should have. But I believe you're right in what the intention was. And it's also made clear food's been vanishing, which we find out when the kids run in to show their new shoes. And Gekkoman's also stealing food. And it's made very clear that Hodoroku's family does not know she's a cleaner. And I like how Reyna does not care about any of this, as they got takeout.
I mean, considering that they were dealing with a Tomoro exploding eggs in the microwave.
That's...
This is like a fucking 5-star meal.
And then this is where you get the good coincidental plot. Kyo contacts him about a job in that area regarding food theft.
Like, hey, by the way, since you're there...
And also no one's sure why it's after food instead of E-Pulse. They detail reasonably well that Hodoruko's dad passed without really giving us details. Hodoruko says, you know, she won't be staying tonight. She's a career woman. Her mom tries to get her to stop sending money, and she makes clear she's just going to. Her mom kind of just wants her home more.
I mean, that's fair. But also, being a child soldier.
Yeah, we get Shakumon floating over, you know, if they should tell them or not. And then it's made clear that when Shakumon was born, Hodoruko got kicked out of school for whatever happened at the time.
I want to think that she immediately picked up Shakumon and beat someone to death with its shell.
That would be... And it's revealed she doesn't come home because of tactics rules. Better to keep them in the dark just so her mom doesn't have to handle it. And Shakumon points out the obvious, how long can it really be hidden? And then we get banging from the other room. Shakumon screams. And then before we see the culprit, I catch with Makoto, and it's Bergamon, who has made a Shakumon burger.
You know, I've never had clams with bread. I wonder how well that would taste.
I feel like you could make a patty out of it and it would probably work.
Maybe.
And then it attacks with pickles. Because yes.
I said no pickles!
I like how they then are like, oh, they rush after the Bergamon before the mob knows what's happening. Bergamon's gone. So here's what's weird. They decided it must have used a boat to go out to, like, sea to hide, right?
Yeah.
They follow the water a bit.
I thought it was going to be like, oh, maybe it's in the sewers or...
No, then they follow the water a bit and they immediately find a mirror world portal, like, right above a boat. Like, so it made, like, the whole explanation they gave kind of odd. Before that,
I don't know, maybe, like... My guess maybe is that the portal's always there and kind of stationary, and then
I know, but what I mean is they gave this whole story like they need to follow the river because maybe it has a boat or whatever it was they said, and like that didn't really have anything to do with anything, minus to give them an excuse to follow the water.
Yeah.
But before they find the boat, you know, they talk while they're waiting. Makoto talks about the origin of the egg, wanting to help people, and Hodoruko is very upset by all of this.
Considering her situation, that's very understandable.
It is, but it's also like she's upset he's trying to help people. It's a bit weird in that she's upset. It's almost more like she's upset that he gave it up, because it's what she wants.
Yeah, is how you had the actual fucking life
that
me and my family have been trying for.
That's what it felt like to me, is that
you're
like
so happy-go-lucky about running away.
Yeah, and I think it's weird because it's interesting because she doesn't necessarily know the correct situation. Like, it's not like he left by choice. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see if she finds out more in the future and how that changed.
True.
And then as they jump in the mirror world to follow Bergamon, it's Burpmon. And it eats food and Shakumon. And interestingly, this is only the second Digimon we've seen that eats food. The first one being Gekkoman.
Yeah, that and Gekkoman.
And is it weird that they don't, like, minus earlier in the episode when they say they aren't sure why food's being stolen. They don't really, like, no one's amazed by that, like, they found a food-eating Digimon, even though they were, like, shocked that Gekkoman did it.
I think it was initially that they weren't sure the cause of the thefts, and then were kind of told, like, hey, we think it's a Digimon by, you know, Kyo's information.
No, yeah, I know, but what I mean is, like, the idea that Gekkoman ate food was, like, surprising to everyone.
Yeah, it's like, Digimon don't need to eat food, but now, yours is just a glutton.
Yeah, now when we see one that eats a lot of food, there's not really much in the way of reaction to it. There is reaction to the burping out E-pulse to Burgermon, and they're like, oh, it's a symbiotic relationship. They help each other. And then Trotmon evolves to Night Trotmon to try to punch him, and spits a bone to block it, and then lots more bone. It's a very basic fight, but it's actually quite amusing, honestly. And then attacking with giant burger buns from Burgermon.
I'm surprised that Burgermon was this actually functional in a fight. Usually they're like, ah, this is such a weak sauce little thing that it needs other people to help it.
Yeah, like, all the Burgermon stuff I remember is basically it standing around and looking at the fight.
Or cowering somewhere.
And then they beat Night Trotmon quite well. And then Hodoroku's, like, upset at them, like, being willing to defend, you know, depending on friend. This is where it feels like it goes a little off rails, her anger, because we've seen her depend on the others there.
Yes, it's like you're in a team of three in tactics. You have, like, specific roles.
And then she gets Shakumon to wake up, and then Burpmon vomits out Shakumon, and it evolves into Tylomon, and we get a quick battle. They don't do that well against it. They get beaten up quite quickly. They also seem a bit confused at where they are. And then they try to apologize, and Hodoroku doesn't really accept it. And then she's still upset that, like, he's showing mercy. It's an interesting thing to see, and I'm curious to see where they will go with it.
It's hard to say, like, how much of her rage is from, like, Makoto's, you know, decisions and needing his friends, and how much is from, like, dude, you assholes just pretty much trashed my mom's restaurant. I'm going to have to deal with so much bullshit.
Yeah, but still. And then she grabs the babies and both but tosses them to Makoto, saying that's her debt for him helping her. And then this episode really loves its coincidental timing. That is right when Reina and Tomuro show up. So no Sapatama, so they can't get the bounty, but they did save the Digimon. And then we see Makoto helping Hodoroku's mom clean up. And he lets her know, you know, Hodoroku's busy with work. As he's leaving, she asks him to watch over her. And she even,
like,
says,
lady, this is like a whole ass 10-year-old. I don't think he's going
to be fair,
much
to
help.
To be fair, though, as far as she knows, it's a whole ass 10-year-old that somehow works with her, so is apparently competent. And then then we get the scene of Makoto walking off sadly with Trotmon. I think it was a very solid episode. I think, generically, this is the type of episode that Digimon tends to do best, which is characters talking and learning about each other.
And then a small bit of violence.
Yeah, this one also focuses on the differences between them, or at least the differences that she thinks they have. I feel like we got the most character building of the three of the tactics members from her in this episode. And I also think it's probably one of the better episodes of Beat Breaks, just because it defines a character really well through the whole episode.
It works out.
Yeah. And then cast stuff. Ayaka Saito's Burgermon, who she played in Adventure 2020. She was also Pillowmon, Sepikmon, and Guapamon in 2020. She was Mikuru in Eden of the East, Soma in Fruits Basket, Honey in Oran High School Host Club, and in the original web OVA for Azumanga Daioh, she was Chiyo.
Ah, neat.
Now, did you see who played Burpmon?
I did not.
Megumi Urawa, who has one of the longest lists of Digimon credits. In O2, she's the Orion Armadamon. She's Armidamon in Kizuna and Ode to the Beginning. She's Dracomon in Cross Wars, Kokuumon and Garamon in Ghost Game. In later Dr. Slump content, she was Pisuke. She was Oob in Dragon Ball, Makoto in the original Hell Teacher Noob, Yotaro in World Trigger. And in dumped over content, she's Lampwick in Pinocchio.
Huh.
And then, are you ready for the weirdest cameo?
Yes.
Makoto Suma was Koemon.
Huh.
She was Koemon in that one episode of Ghost Game.
You know what? I completely forgot Koemon existed in Ghost Game.
And you know why that's a hilarious cameo? Now, Koemon is like nothing in this episode, right? It's just like a quick thing at the beginning.
Yeah, it didn't go anywhere.
Makoto Sumura is Takato.
Shit.
So, like, they brought in Takato for, like, going eek a few times and throwing. Mami Kagetsu.
And then immediately getting murdered.
Mami Kagetsu was Nagisa in her first Digimon. I think this was the mom. Merry Christmas in One Piece. Makin in Burn Up Excess. Izumi in Princess Nine. And Cobalt Claw in Re Cutie Honey.
Huh.
Then for the kids, Eriko Kadokura was Ko. Lots of bit roles in Adventure 2020 and Ghost Game. And Honoka Mitsubachi was Oi. She was Pyokomon in Ghost Game.
Huh.
The very strange collection of cameos in this episode. I feel like the Koemon one's the weirdest one, though, because Koemon doesn't really do anything.
It's like you could have just used it with sound effects.
You brought back Takato's episode to like make a few similar noises to one that she did. At this point, it probably would have been 4 years ago.
Maybe she was just in the studio and they're like, oh, hey, what's up?
No, I feel like that can't have been because they would have already animated it. It's just an interesting little cameo. And then next time is episode 18, The Price of Freedom. You gotta hope
I'm looking forward to this one.
You gotta hope there's not a Pokemon in the episode.
Yeah, he's gonna eat shit immediately. Oh, wait, oh god, what if they do the same thing to Terriermon Assistant?
We'll see. And then, interesting last minute reveal. On Saturday morning, they announced that episodes 6 through 10 of the Digimon Beepreak English dub would be up that night. And they are. Although, weirdly, it was not the same time they did episodes 1 through 5. They actually went up at the same time as the new episode. So, up through episode 10's dubbed on Crunchyroll. I'm going to wait until I have free time to watch it rather than trying to power through it all at once. So, hopefully later this week.
Yeah, I absolutely will not be able to see it for like at least 2 weeks just because crazy preparation for convention and also work.
Yeah, it was one of those things where like, it's like, okay, they're going to be up. I'm very busy. I will enjoy them once I have the free time rather than just like trying to rush through them while doing other stuff in the background. And then we get a new versus image. This one's Makoto versus Hodoruko. Is the art on this one really fucking good?
Basically all of them except for Kyo and Gigasmon have looked pretty good.
Yeah, but this one just looks extra good, at least to me. Then we get animation director corrections for episode 16 for Reina, Granite, and Ludomon. We get animation of the scene of them snowboarding down the Himalayas, which I think this is the first place where they actually confirmed where they were.
Yeah.
So it's the Himalayas. I love the line art of the surfing and running down the mountain.
That was really good.
Yeah. Then a line test episode of them returning to the mirror world in the climax of the episode. It's been a solid collection of previews. I've quite enjoyed them for Beat Break. And then new chapter of Liberator. Okay, Dev. So we start with the nice Yuki and Shoto moment, which I quite like, but am I wrong, or was the entire setup for this moment just that one chapter like 2 months ago?
Yeah, it absolutely was.
Okay. I'm sitting here going like, it feels like they're supposed to have some connection. It's like their main interaction was like 2 months ago, and that was weird. And then Jessmon rushes in, all the novel characters do their neat, cool attack, and all the Digimon from Cross Connectia show up. Cool Boy gets a cool shot without his glasses, and Omekamon's fucking giant.
Yes, like, ha, that's
That's bigger than I kind of imagined.
To be fair,
I
appreciate that they have Arisa ask if Omekamon was always that size. And in my head, I'm like, I keep trying to like, because it's been so long, I'm like, Omekamon's been in scenes. He's not always on the screen, is he?
I don't remember.
No, neither do I. And then we find out that
I remember us commenting that we barely see him and Schoolboy together.
Yeah. And then the other weird thing, we get the weird twist that Omekamon does not evolve into Omegamon X. Omekamon is a shell around Omegamon X.
I want a fucking toy of that, okay?
No, here's the funny part is, that's not that different than the transforming for Anchoamon, remember? Where it's the where it's Anchoamon, it's just like a Tailmon shell.
Yeah, like the Tailmon's basically like the wings.
And then everyone helps Shoto trying to get to Unchained. And then, okay, so here's where I definitely missed something. Zeno's visor had powers? I thought they had said they rebuilt Zeno's digital body using parts of an NPC. I missed that the visor itself had abilities. Or I just am not remembering it.
It's part of it. I think it's just because it's part of his body, counts as part of an NPC.
Okay, so they're saying it's just that it's part. Okay, I thought they were saying the visor itself did stuff. You're saying that it's, you know, the digital version of his eyes now or whatever.
Yeah, it's just a part, and then a part is good enough.
Okay, that makes more sense than what I thought they were saying. Because I was like, did they say he was Jordy LaForge and the visor did stuff?
No, they just happened to, like, I'm keeping this part.
And then,
this part is useful.
And then they're like, there's one test map that we can trap Unchained to for the match. And, like, they don't tell you what it is. So it's like, what cool place it could be. It's like, it's Shinjuku, it's always Shinjuku.
It's always fucking Shinjuku with Digimon.
And then, right before we end, we get a neat hero shot of Shoto and Muchomon.
That Muchomon has been consistently getting so much good attention.
Like, as much as we've criticized Year 2, I feel like Muchomon has gotten a lot of great usage. And not just like, Muchomon evolves and attacks and that's cool. I mean, like, some neat stuff. Like, it's just been very impressive to see.
Penguin boy.
Yeah, I've been very impressed seeing that. And then, to be continued, so do you think Chapter 23 is the last one, or do you think they are able to drag it to 24?
I want to say they'll probably drag it to 25.
Oh, you're going to say 25? Okay. So you're going to say February will be 23.
So two more epic battles, lots of Angust, and then 25, 22 is going to be like epilogue.
So you're going to say it's going to last through the end of April?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. Although you're saying you think it's going to end at 24 and 25 is going to be like the here's the last chapter epilogue type thing.
That's how I feel, at least with the current pacing that they're using.
Okay, I think that would work. If they were actually still doing battle stuff in 25, I'd be sighing a bit, honestly. And then,
I mean, they need a place to whore out all the cards that are going to be in the next set.
Whoa, your headset just completely changed. You had got your audio had gone a bit lower for a while, and now it, like, fully popped back up, Dev.
That is really weird. Okay.
And then, don't worry, though, Dev. It's everyone's favorite topic. Fiscal numbers!
Woohoo! Yeah. I'm so thrilled.
Yeah, so this covers... this is the wrong link. One second, I have to go find the correct one for you and me.
Well, it exists on the chart, so Digimon's doing good enough.
There we go. Yeah, I will need to remember to change them the notes before I post them. So the main thing is it's weird. It's doing good. It's not, like, wildly different, though.
It's holding steady.
Well, that's the thing. So this is the third quarter, basically October, November, December. It mentions, you know, securing and expanding for One Piece, Dragon Ball, Pretty Cure, Digimon. Digimon was mentioned, merchandising and game licensing for outside Japan. Beat Break's only real mention was Beat Break has begun, and Arc 2 started on January 4th. Time Stranger coming out was listed.
Okay.
But the actual numbers are interesting because they're definitely way up. But it feels like we were expecting like a crazy jump this time, and they aren't. So domestic licensing in Japan is a decent jump, but less than 100%. And in this case, what I mean is it goes from like like 150 to about 212.
So, okay, it's not bad.
No. Then overseas film licensing jumps from, it's like 300-ish to a bit under 500. And then overseas licensing jumps about 50% from about 1,000 to 1,400. All very impressive, but not quite as much of a jump as you'd expect. And there's a few reasons for this. The first is, remember how the quarter before that we were a bit surprised how well Digimon was doing in a quarter where not much was happening? I would not be surprised if some of that was pre-sales for Beat Break. And it is possible that Toei has not fully gotten any financials it would get from Time Stranger, since in theory the game had only been out for a couple months by that point. So the next few reports are to watch for, because it went up, and that's went up well. Not quite the jump that I feel like people were expecting, though. But yeah, a significant portion of Digimon at this point is licensing outside Japan. Like last time, if you count film licensing outside Japan, you know, TV, movie licensing, streaming, and product licensing, 90% of Digimon's market is outside Japan at this point.
Oh.
Yeah.
More than I expected.
It definitely jumped more and more. It also kind of points out, like, if you went back, you know, 15 years ago, the common refrain would be, is whatever they get out of Japan's a bonus. They aren't really that concerned with it. Now it's most of their business, for Digimon at least.
So gotta love that nostalgia.
Yeah. And then, Dev, time to get a sip of drink, because Cardopalooza.
No, make them go away.
Okay, first up, for Booster Set EX-11, a special parallel card for Pyramidimon.
That's cool.
They really need to find more, like, Pyramidimon's design does not lend itself to, like, stuff outside of attacking. I like how it's trying to reach for her, but it kind of just looks the same.
Look, its body shape means there's not that much you can do with it, especially getting crammed on something as small as a card.
Yeah. Parallel card for Espeomon features Espeomon and Altea using their profile art. I was going to say here, it's already seen.
I like this one.
Sangomon parallel card is Sangomon and Yao as she appears in year one of Liberator. It's actually funny, we have not seen that outfit in a year, have we?
No.
Then Ryugumon gets a special parallel card with the comic art. This is such a good card.
I really love the comic part in the background, just then like the spot coloring on the Digimon itself. I really like this
color. I really like this one because it feels like I can remember these panels happening in Liberator.
It's really good.
Yeah. Yukidarumon / Frigimon. It's them and Suzune.
Basic.
Yeah, same profile art. I like that they're doing them for all of them, though.
Yeah.
Makuinamon gets one with Makuinamon and Unchained.
I want this card.
So, I like the card. I feel like I would like it more if Makuinamon was doing something.
It's just standing there.
Yeah, that's my one issue.
Or floating there ominously.
Zafagamon gets a really cool action card of it, kind of like doing a flying jump leap. And I love that it's not just Shoto, it's also Muchomon.
Yes.
It's so good. Then Terramon gets one with Shoto.
Yep.
God, we have not seen that outfit in a while either.
And come then, back for revenge.
And then they reveal Vortextramon with a normal card, a parallel alt art card, and a panorama special two set of cards with X Makuinamon. So this is the first time we've seen this Digimon.
I wonder what card's going to show up in the next Liberator chapter.
So what's interesting is this, I'm not sure how I feel about this design, because they want it to be a bird, they want it to be a dragon, but also if you do the close-up of the face from the profile shot, they really want it to look like Terramon.
You know what it looks a lot like? It looks like Kagutsuchi from My Hime.
See, I was going to say it looks like, I can't remember the Transformer I'm thinking of. my brain wants to say the Fallen, but that's not who I'm thinking of. Where it has like the mouth guard, but the mouth guard doesn't really do anything because the mouth isn't really positioned there.
Hmm.
All very nice art, though.
It looks cool.
And then
but I need to see like more angles of it.
Yeah,
too.
Same. And then we start getting previews of Bushiset AD01 Advanced Booster Digimonization. We start with new anime art of Greymon and Garurumon.
It's like, if you told me this was a screen shy out of 2020, I wouldn't have corrected you.
Yeah, I'll be honest. At first, I thought it was a screenshot from Kizuna. And I'm like, oh, no, this is new art. And then at some point, someone's going to correct me going, no, this is from 2020. Then we get reprints for Vmon and Wormmon, and both also get gold foil border variants.
I like the Wormmon.
I do too, but there's no real changes with these cards, unfortunately.
It's slightly sparklier.
Then we get the same with Geo Greymon and Rise Greymon. I like the Rise Greymon one. And then, Dev, new cards. A triple tamer card for Tomoki, Takuya, and Izumi. So we get them posing cool. And then we get a parallel card that also has Kaiser Greymon. I really like the art from these.
It's a bit busy, but I mean, that's what happens when you're cramming multiple characters onto one card.
See, here's the thing, Dev. This is a great start to anime art for the year because this is later this year is the 5th anniversary of that Tamer's Christmas art.
Jesus Christ.
And it's another another Tamer's anniversary year. So this is a big 5-year anniversary for Tamer's. They can make up for that because that has honestly been like the worst art we've seen for when they've done new art of the kids. So this is a good
It is a curse that will not be lifted.
Hey, it could be. We could get Tamer's art this good as this Frontier art. So it might be good. We'll see. And then we get reprints for Gilmon, Gilmon X, Megalogromon, and Megalogromon X. Neat, they're getting reprints. Nothing to really say about them, though. We've seen them all.
Yep. But dinosaurs.
Yeah. And then Card Battle does an EX11 match, along with showing off the finish of the various Digimon with their partner cards. And I believe you were correct. I thought these were just going to be gold foil on the gold parts. You are correct. They actually are like a metallic holo finish, all of them.
Yay!
So you called that one. And then another card battle with the same theme for EX11 and showing off the comic cards, which the special parallel cards, we already got photo previews of them, but nice to have another set.
Yeah.
Because they always look good. And then, Dev, do you like acrylic stands?
Occasionally.
Do you like the idea of of Digimon acrylic stands that actually have like a diorama formation? You can do whatever you want with them.
That seems really cool.
Does it seem really cool if there's going to be 80 different stands done via gacha?
Fuck that.
Did you see the actual formation they're doing? It's cartoonishly ludicrous.
Yeah.
Each volume.
It's like.
So each volume.
So fucking many.
Each one's 40 stands, 20 normal stands, and then the same 20 stands, but holo reflective. And let's see what the current exchange rate is, ignoring intermediaries. 880 yen, $2. These are $5.50 each.
But still, like.
No, but I'm saying.
Like, if it was like.
But what I'm saying is if you want to collect them all, minimum, meaning if you had perfect gacha luck, it would be over $400.
Yeah, no.
And
no,
since
no.
Someone about the cards asked, all the reprints were AD01. Yeah, here's the thing. I love the idea of this. It is too much. It is ludicrously. It's fucking insane.
Look, if this was like a pop-up shop based on the original V pets and you could just like pick them out, sure, sounds great, but having that many
and have them be gotcha,
part of, like,
it's too much. Like, ludicrously so.
Yeah, normally with gotcha sets, there's somewhere between like around like 10 to 12 designs. This is like four times.
This
that.
Is 80 between two. Here's what I would say would be reasonable. Okay, so it's $5.50 each, it's gotcha. If, like you said, do pop-up shop, make them 7 each and you can just pick. But
yeah, because people are going to pick out like their favorite Digimon's like evolution line or that they got in the V-Pack.
Or how about this? The 20 normal ones are normal. and the holofoil ones are all gotcha. How about that?
That could work.
If you just want,
hey, you want something sparkly?
Yeah. If you want the normal ones, want the normal ones, you can just buy it. If you want the sparkly ones, that is ripoff gotcha. It's too much. Because here's the thing. Let's say you only want stuff from one of the gotcha sets, so you don't even need both. You're still talking about 40. And if you only need, if you only want one character, that's still odds 2 out of 40. That's 1 out of 20. That's psychotic.
Yeah, it's still trash.
I'm also a little surprised that the starter stand is basically $20, and minus the faceplate, you'd think it would come with one or two actual stands as a bonus.
Yeah, no.
The bonus is it comes with a logo. I like that it comes with the logo, but that should not be like the actual stand it comes with. That should be a bonus. Yeah, this is just. If you can get something single...
Actually, you know what would have been good?
What?
If they had essentially like an acrylic frame that was the actual Digital Monster VPET itself with like the cutout clear, and then behind it you could put whatever Digimon wanted.
I have to be honest, because like version 1 is heavily based around the V1, version 2 is heavily based around the V2. I kind of just assumed they would have more of the stands and then they would theme them after the VPETs. I kind of just assumed that was coming in some form, but this seems, I'm not saying this is a terrible idea, I'm sure it's going to make money, but this is like, it's skeevy of the highest level. It's just it's too much.
Yeah.
What isn't too much, at least in one form, is the Real Data Collection, they announced a new figure series, and they showed off the first figure, just Tyrannomon.
It looks really fucking good.
Really nice.
And also, it was, like, a lot bigger than I thought.
Yeah, because I think everyone's very used to the cheap, nice gotcha one from 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like the price, it's not the price is a bit much, it's a bit much if they're actually going to keep doing these. Because that comes out to about 120 or so. I feel like if they shrunk it a bit to make it more like 100, that would probably be better in the long run for people who want to collect them. Although I think starting with Tyrannomon's smart, because Tyrannomon's popular, but it's not sellout popular. So it lets them know what demand actually is. Because when you start with Omegamon, you're going to sell out every time.
Yeah, because Megamon prints money.
Yeah. Really, really solid work on this one, though. Who would you, if they continue to line dev, who would you like to see next?
Well, I assume they're going with original Digital Monster.
It's hard to say because we're also like a year away from an anniversary, and that may be when you'd want to do that.
Maybe it feels like whatever Digimon are in the All the Digimon Mall campaign, those feel like pretty good candidates.
That's actually a good one. Oh, see, that'd be cool to have the next one be Geckomon.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be a solid choice.
Or if they did Impmon, since they're using the original profile art as inspiration, it would be cool if they did like the fire and ice balls as like clear resin, and then you could put lights in them.
I feel like something Impmon-ish did that. I feel like I remember something with Impmon doing that. Was there like an Impmon nightlight or clock?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm probably just misremembering that. I like vaguely recall there being like an Impmon one where he had the two orbs. And moving on from the figure, new poll, which is part 2 of the favorite Digimon add to the reference book in 2025.
I forgot to vote in the first one. Dang it.
The selection here is very wide. I'm trying to decide who do I think will win. If I look at them all...
It's a really hard choice because you have...
I feel like this one's wide open to some degree.
You have the Beat Break ones. You have, like, V-Tamer Nostalgia with Parallelmon. You have the Time Stranger ones. And then you have, like, the adorable Precious Babies from the new V-Pets.
Yeah, I don't even know where to guess for this one, to be honest. There is such
puppy
a...
puppy is so cute.
See, the problem here, Dev, is you actually have to clarify which puppy, because there's a number of them. Like
the V-Pet puppy.
Wankomon.
Yes.
Yeah, this one is a very interesting one, and I'm looking forward to seeing. But yeah, and we can expect they'll also do a combined results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then moving on to the weekend post. January 29th was Wada Koji's birthday. So we got a few posts. One was Volcano Odo showing that he still had a 2014 wristband from a Wada Koji concert. It had broken at some point, and he repaired it to make it a workable wristband again.
Oh, I'm glad he was able to fix it.
He noted that he was very happy that the break was not where the text was. Digimon music producer noted that Butterfly became a song loved throughout the world, and it was Wada Koji's singing and voice that made it happen. He hopes the song continues to connect with people, and he wonders what it would be like if they could still hear him now. The tribute concert account did wish the same. I still think Volcano Oda always comes up with the neatest stuff for his birthday.
He did a good job.
And then Kozo Shioya passed around January 20th due to cerebral hemorrhage. He had a number of Digimon roles, probably most notably in Cross Wars, and 2020 he was Olegmon.
Aw, that's a shame.
He was also Tonosama Gekkomon in 2020, and in Ghost Game he was the Blue Oboromon. His non-Digimon roles are probably where his best-known role was probably that he was Majin Buu in Dragon Ball. Would you like to know some of his dubbed-over roles, Dev?
Yes.
In the dubbed-over Power Rangers, he was Bulk.
Oh, hell yeah.
He was Newman in Seinfeld. And he was Paul Blart. Yeah, I left that one for last because that one just...
Look, I've never even watched that full movie, but I've seen enough clips of it to
understand. Yeah. Ayumi Miyazaki posted more photos from the 2026 Strength Japanese Anime Concert Tour in Malaysia. Also photos with him with some of the other guests, Riku Matsumoto, Yoko Takahashi, Hiroshi Kitanda, and Flo. Some very nice photos there. Then the Toei Anime Museum posted a few photos. Put up a poster of the tactics art for Beat Break and showed off some of their Beat Break stuff, including the Otodama plushies.
I want the fucking Otodamas.
Which one do you want the most, Steph?
I want Chirapmon. I want the Bat Baby.
I'm trying to decide which one I think looks the best. I'm trying to think, does anything look better than Gekkomon with the blep?
Yeah, Pristimon is really spot on, just looking grumpy.
It is. I just, for some reason, the Gekkomon with the blep, because here's the thing, I don't think Gekkomon works that well with that shape, like doing the flat face, and they made it work. And then we get some card game art. This time it is for Yuki Nipmon, basically saying bye to Cross Connecting, coming to Lacuna. Do you like how Ipmon looks like a fucking gremlin in this?
Absolutely. There's like a comic with that exact art style that uses like that for the eyes, and I'm trying to place it, but my brain is not pulling it up.
Yeah, mine's doing the same. And then we get some art from the Liberator staff. Usagi Bochi did a nice profile shot of Omegamon X. And Tomo 01 did Omegamon X doing, this feels like a very familiar Omegamon pose, doesn't it? Someone's getting stabbed, and then it got retweeted, posted so much. They later posted a version without all the text, so people could use it for wallpapers and stuff, since people had liked it. It's very nice.
Oh, that's very nice of them.
Yeah. February art is starting today, February 1st. The Digimon begin their training camp. The effort from their training will decide the outcome of the battles that unfold during the year. Leomon and Bulkmon, proud of their strength, pull the heavy Locomon for weight training. Keep at it. Power. So, I like this one, but this falls into, like, the Grap Leomon one, which is, it doesn't really feel like it represents the month. Although this one's actually at least good art. The problem with the Grap Leomon was, it just looked like a random piece of art of him.
And I'm glad it got last place in the last poll.
Yeah, this one feels like it's going to be low for the 2026 one. And then Beat Break art for the episode. So first up for the new episode, we get Night Trotmon from Takiro Kojima, who's the character designer, and Akimini Aki drew Hodokura. I like how, like, the point of the art appears to be to make her look like she's being reserved but also actiony. and then a few pieces of art for episode 16 last week that got missed. Jordan Bays did a Shikishi of Gekkoman. That's such good art. You know, does it remind you of the Garfield sticky thing?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, good. I thought I was imagining that. And then DK Digimon also worked there, so they put up art of Wolvermon and Reyna running down the mountain.
I think that was my favorite one of the set for today.
I would agree, just because it really is good dynamic art of both of them. And, like, is it funny? Because, like, Reyna's supposed to be, like, on Wolvermon's back, but they also give her, like, an action pose. And it looks really good.
I guess she's just holding on by the fluff of Wolvermon's neck, and just her legs are flying away behind her.
Yeah, it works really good. And then, time for questions from chat, and we'll start with the ones we sent ahead of time. Someone asked, thinking about what you guys were talking about with the Time Stranger DLC not feeling fulfilling, I was wondering, additional Digimon aside, do you think they could do an hour story and have it feel good if they decide to do more DLC? The answer is yes, but it feels like they wanted the DLC to stand outside of the story so that no matter when you played, it would make sense. I feel like if you're going to do DLC like that, where it's like an hour, it needs to expand on something from the game and not just, oh, this is an alternate character, so it's completely different and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think if you do an hour story of Hiroko or an hour story of whoever, it can work, but it has to, like, feel like it matters.
Like, make it at least vaguely relevant.
Yeah. I feel like the reason it doesn't feel relevant is because it's a different version of them that can't it just makes you go, eh. Then Stark asks, what's your one big hope for Digimon in 2026?
Give me more plushies, you fuckers.
Plushies. I also would not mind if the year calms down a bit. Because it feels like the last few months, like, new game, great. Then we start getting the DLC, then we're getting Beat Break, then we're getting the Beat Break dub. Then the Ghost Game dub pops up.
Yeah, it is a lot.
I would like...
Mostly because we do news.
Yeah, I would like things to feel more focused in not all being in, like, a short period of a few weeks.
Only for our sake, because we do news.
That too. I would also like to see the few shows that do not have good home video releases to get them. Like, I am not a big Savers fan, but I would like Savers fans to get their Blu-ray box in Japan. We know Ghost Game's getting one. Atmon and Cross Wars have HD Masters. It would be nice if they would get boxes.
God, I would kill for a Cross Wars box set.
I would love one. Then someone said, since it's come up before, I was curious how you decided which VTubers to watch. There are so many. I believe me and Dev both do the same thing, which is we just look at clip names.
Yeah, sometimes clips at each other. It randomly, it just shows up and it's like, haha, this is funny. And then we just look at another related clip. Yeah.
And like generically, like we know the people who will be interested in who, because we've seen them in clips. I don't think either of us actually spend much time like, oh, they're streaming, I'm going to watch the whole stream.
Yeah, definitely not. Like, occasionally one or two will be streaming and I'll pop in for like maybe 10 or 15 minutes while I'm, you know, just have it on in the background while I'm doing something else, like cooking dinner or cleaning
or
whatever.
Most of ours are clips or clip packages. Or while we're doing other stuff, just having music playlist on. That sort
of pretty much.
Someone said, what's your favorite Olympus 12 member? I'm pulling them up just to see, like...
I mean, aesthetically,
I guess the question is for your question, do you mean Olympus 12 generically or, like, Olympus 12 as they appear in Time Stranger Fiction? Do you just mean, like, which of the Digimon do we like the most? We'll give them a minute to answer that while we kind of think about our answers here. They mean both. Generically, I'm going to cheat and say Grace Novamon, just because, you know, big blow-up-y one, good. As for in Time Stranger, I feel like something like it'd be. I'm just thinking probably Minervamon or Neptunemon, just someone who has an actual, to some degree, interesting. Like, Neptunemon was one of the more interesting ones in the game.
I mean, it's hard to say. I don't really care that much for them in general, but probably Dianamon or Sarismon.
Yeah, those ones make sense. Any specific reason or just, eh, whatever?
I really, really liked Digimon Story Moonlight, so...
Okay.
Hell yes, Lunamon Evolution Line and Sarismon because, wow, that's a cool giant earth bird.
That makes sense. When do you think we'll start seeing anniversary merchandise and news for all the stuff you've mentioned having big anniversaries this year? I feel like the universal March? Answer here is Digimon Con.
That is in March, right? Or am I hallucinating?
Late March, I think.
Oh, okay.
Because that is also like weeks before the anniversaries actually start up. So yeah, March. Let's see. What evolution do you guys think if we could get in a new game or a Groundhog Digimon? I can't think of evolutions, but do a Groundhog Digimon that has like a time loop power.
Shit, you beat me to it because I was about to say that.
That's all that comes to mind for Groundhog Digimon, to be honest.
Wait, also one that is impervious to explosives.
That too. Then someone asked, for newer RPG players, what do you think is a good game to try after Time Stranger, Digimon or not? Would you like
new RPG players?
Would you like a bad example first, Dev? I think you know the one I'm going to go with because I've talked about it in the last 2 days. So, have you played Final Fantasy VII Remake?
No, I have not.
Okay, so if there's a site that keeps track of how long games are to play on average. The main story of Final Fantasy VII Remake is 32 and a half hours, and to be a completionist is 86 hours. That's long, but that's a good length for a JRPG. Would you agree?
I was going to say, that sounds about average for a JRPG.
Now, the original PS1 version of Dragon Quest VII.
Oh my god.
The main story is 108 hours. Being a completionist is 266 hours. Do you know how fucking absurd the game is to actually play? Because I remember it. It is so absurd, Dev, that the remake coming out in a few days is called Reimagined because they're stripping it down to not make it so unwieldy, and no one who plays the original game is complaining about it. The only people complaining are the people going, the game's censored, and everyone who's played the game is like, no, man, you don't understand. The game does not respect your fucking time at all. Like it is a patently absurd game to try to play. It's not like it's an amazingly fun game, but you know when something just will not fucking end?
Yes.
That is Dragon Quest 7. That is Dragon Quest 7. The main storyline is longer than doing everything in Final Fantasy 7 Remake, and that is not a short fucking game.
Guess that's not something you're speedrunning.
No. In fact, I've looked at the speedruns. The quickest ones, like the any percent, are still like 12, 13, 14 hours.
For fuck's sake.
So, not that one. The remake coming out might be a good starter one. I still heavily recommend stuff like Final Fantasy VII Remake, Dragon Quest XI. Just like stuff you can find cheap and that's really good. Is what I would recommend.
Also, the Tales of games are generally pretty good, especially like story-wise.
They are, but so many have been popping out lately, it feels like it's harder to recommend.
Well, some of the older ones, like the remakes and ports, like they're going to be cheap, they're kind of like easy to get into, and for the most part, a bunch of them have like accompanying manga or anime. If you just get tired of actually playing the game, you can just get a pretty good gauge of the actual series by taking a look at that.
Okay, here's a good one. Dev from It's Cozy. Least favorite name change as in like Raidramon to Lydramon. I think my least favorite one is one that I don't necessarily mind it because I get like the point, but I just never use it unless I'm specifically writing out dub names, which is Omnimon.
Like, I don't like Omnimon, but also I hate almost all of the Frontier ones even more.
See, I don't hate the Frontier ones. My sense is so different, but I also get the point in that they were exotic-sounding names in Japan, so they kind of, like, transliterated that idea, if that makes
sense. Into fucking gibberish.
I wouldn't say gibberish, but I get your point.
Fucking Korikakumon.
Then the last one that was sent in ahead of time. How does it feel like Beat Break is being received from your perspective? It feels like if you ignore the people just like going its peak every week, I don't really feel like it's getting much traction, to be honest.
Oh, my friends who've watched it like it a lot, so, I mean, that's all I really give a shit about.
Yeah, people are watching it or enjoying it. I don't feel like it's getting the type of traction fans want it to, is what I mean.
Look, it's never going to be adventure.
Yeah, then that's sort of what it falls into. Let's see. Someone said, how many Greek, Rome, type Digimon do you think they'd add to a new game? I feel like after doing the Olympus 12, that will not be a priority, to be honest. Like, that is the theme of that game to some degree.
Yeah.
And then, would we like to see new Burpmon evolutions? I feel like Burpmon works well just being like a standalone dude.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those, well, you either fucked up a lot or you went out of your way to get this.
Yeah. Okay. That is it for questions. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Bergamon for being a horrible, violent little bastard this week.
That is a good choice. I can be found at With the Will as always. Dev, since we had talked about, you know, if this week was going to have a different time or everything, how did all the snow end up being out there?
We got about, like, 16 inches, but we didn't get the second wave of snow. It kind of went a little bit further south and completely fucked, like, 3 states below us, so.
Okay, yay. So not that bad for you.
No, it was just, okay. I'm still completely buried in snow, but it did not affect the,
internet.
Power lines, at least.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Well, I expect we will be back here next Monday, probably. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. We will catch you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.